Harvesting the fruits of 40 years of ecumenical dialogue. That's the ambitious theme of a report under discussion this week at the plenary assembly of the Pontifical Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity. In the years immediately following the Second Vatican Council, four international bilateral conversations were started between the Catholic Church and leaders of the Lutheran, Methodist, Anglican, and Reformed churches. Over the decades since then, all four of those dialogues have produced a wealth of written agreements on many areas of church life and ministry. But above all, they've developed a climate of friendship and trust, overcoming four centuries of bitter division and often violent conflict. So just where is the ecumenical movement headed today, now that the enthusiasm of the early years has given way to a more sober assessment of the obstacles hindering progress towards full Christian unity? What should church leaders be doing to translate this progress into practical action in the pews and parishes, as well as at regional or international levels?
People must become flesh in the body of the church, and this means it's not enough to have documents of paper. We do not produce these documents for the shelves.
Cardinal Walter Kasper is president of the Vatican's Council for Christian Unity. He told me the purpose of this plenary assembly and of the Harvest Report is to initiate a real process of reception for the progress that has been made so far.
The theme of our plenary is reception and future of the ecumenical movement. And when we look back to the more than 40 years now since the Second Vatican Council, we have to say with great gratitude to the Lord that we were donated with many gifts of the Lord, because we are today in a totally new situation of friendship and closeness to more or less all other churches or church communities, notwithstanding all difficulties and open questions. And so we have to look back, with especially to the relations with Oriental churches, Oriental Orthodox and Orthodox churches, and we can say that we are on a good way of hope in this situation, and we want to go ahead in this direction, which we initiated with the Ravenna document, and will continue next year in a meeting in Cyprus about the primacy of Rome in the first millennium. We have also to look back to the relations with churches or church communities coming from the Reformation of the 16th century. We produced in the last months a huge document of more than 100 pages in English about all the dialogues we had with the mainline churches. This means the Anglicans, Lutherans, Reformed, and the Methodists. What we have achieved about Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity, about justification, sanctification, and salvation, about the Church, and about the sacraments. It means baptism and Eucharist. And I personally was very astonished how much this is. But we, at the end, we had to make an evaluation what we have achieved and where there are still important open questions. And this document, we call it Harvest Document, we will present to the plenary. It will be discussed, and then it has to be elaborated, and we think we will publish it as a stimulus for the future of the dialogue, because this document tells us where we are and then also where we should go. We sent it already to some friends of the other churches or church communities, and the echo, as we received up to now, was very positive, was enthusiastic, because they want since a long time that we initiate a reception process. It's not enough to have documents of paper, but we do not produce these documents for the shelves or for future doctorates, but we want that it will taken knowledge that it will be discussed, first perhaps also criticized, but then it will realized within the church. The paper must become flesh in the body of the church, and this means reception, this process of reception. We want to initiate with this document, and now we look forward to the discussion in the plenary and then elaboration of the document, and we hope it will be an impulse and that there will create also some new enthusiasm about the ecumenical pilgrimage.
Just a few weeks ago, Anglican bishops, 30 of them, and 30 of our bishops, Roman Catholic bishops, we had a day together to pray and to talk and to reflect. Oh, that's good.
Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor is Archbishop of Westminster and has been involved in the Anglican-Catholic dialogue in the UK for over three decades. He says despite the many difficulties, it's essential to push ahead with this reception process.
With regard to the Anglican dialogue, which I've been intimately associated, having been co-chairman of what they called ARCIC for 17 years, I would say so near and yet so far, that the documents that we produced on matters of crucial importance and of Eucharist and ministry and authority and morals and a number of others, but the Anglican communion at the present time is afflicted with great disunity within itself for all sorts of reasons. And so we have to ask ourselves in terms of the dialogue, what kind of church are we dealing with? Where is the focus of authority and unity within the Anglican Church, which enables us to have a dialogue, the fruits of which can be ratified. Ratified, yes, within the Catholic Church, but also ratified within the Anglican Communion. That, at the moment, is a very great challenge. So even though I think the dialogue, in many ways, has gone very well in terms of the documents produced, I don't think those documents have been fully received within the Anglican Communion, and therefore further progress, I think, on that level, I think, is going to be difficult.
What about how far they've been fully received within the Catholic Church? As you say, they're mainly on paper, the results of this dialogue, aren't they? How do you get from paper into people's lives?
I think that can only be done through Catholic universities, through theologians. Also, I think with some of the fruits of some of the dialogues, but even within parishes, you have groups that study the documents. We had that in many years ago, studying the document on the Eucharist and a document on authority. So I think that's another way where they can be received. But I think of latter years, this hasn't happened. And I think it's more difficult for the Anglicans than for us, because the documents, are fully conversant with Catholic theology and Catholic doctrine.
How much has this ecumenical work been a priority for you over your years in Westminster?
I think it's been a priority ever since I became a bishop 32 years ago, so I've been in this a long time. And partly, of course, through the Anglican dialogue. And now at Westminster, because you're really confronting, as we do, the kind of secular society in Britain. Christians need to stand up together, and so I try as much as I can to cooperate with the Archbishop of Canterbury and so that we stand up not just for Christianity, but indeed for all religion in our society, where a strong minority would like to, as it were, ostracize or privatize religion totally.
So you're saying, in fact, that secularism and atheism in a paradoxical way has helped the ecumenical movement, perhaps even the interreligious dialogue in Britain today?
Yeah, I would have said yes. I think we see that we have something that we must defend in common, even though we don't agree, of course, with many things, particularly with people of other religions. But at the same time, there are matters about belief in God, matters about family, matters about the structure of society, which I think we have a lot in common.
You talk about the church or the churches being under threat today. How serious a threat do you see this as?
Well, I think there are pro and con. I mean, it's a good thing in some ways, because if you're swimming against the stream, you've got to be in there swimming against it. And in that sense, I think that it's quite good for the Catholic Church. I'm talking about the Catholic Church in Britain, as it were, to be up against it. And therefore it means that people have got to give an account of the hope that's in them. And And one of the things I would like to think will happen more and more, that educated and Catholic lay men and women will be able to speak out more and witness more in public life. I think it's very necessary. Of course, the downside is that it's very hard to get one's views accepted, particularly about social and moral matters.
Looking back at the progress that's been made and working closer together, as you say, with other denominations, helps to focus more sharply, more clearly on the way ahead as well. What do you see as the main obstacles and the main direction that this dialogue should be taking now?
Well, I think that's the purpose of our meeting. I think that this is the document harvest we're going to examine during these next couple of days. What's the fruits of these dialogues and what is the way ahead? Not just within our own countries, but here at the Council for Christian Unity, what are the steps that they should be taking in the years ahead? So I think I can't be definitive about that. I'm very anxious to hear what my fellow bishops and cardinals say about that.
In your own mind, looking at the situation in England, what do you see today as the biggest obstacles, perhaps, to this dialogue?
Well, I think the biggest obstacle are the divisions within other churches, and particularly with the Church of England and the Anglican Church. That's been so that it's very hard to make fundamental progress. On the other hand, to put it another way, spiritual progress of talking together, praying together, being together, I think that grows the whole time. And just a few weeks ago, Anglican bishops, 30 of them, and 30 of our bishops, Roman Catholic bishops, we had a day together to pray and to talk and to reflect.
Can you tell us anything more about the fruits of that day together?
Well, I think the fruits are that that when we want to have a common Christian mind, that what happens is that the kind of connections that we make in these days, I think, bear fruit then.
My thanks there to Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, Archbishop of Westminster. And earlier you heard Cardinal Walter Kasper, President of the Vatican's Council for the Promotion of Christian Unity.